the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1202. Beginning with verse 35, we'll read responsibly through verse 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. We'll read these verses responsibly, and once again, that's page 1202 in your Schofield Bible. Stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, and let's finish together, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let's pray. Father, this hour is important, so much more important than what we can realize. Help us to, on purpose, give our attention to the preaching of thy word. And because we may not be able to fathom the depth of the importance of the hour, help us to trust thee for that which you've invested in us and that which you've invested in this service, and to have some sense of our obligation to hear the word, to act upon it. It's reasonable that we should leave this place a better Christian, a better person than what we came. But of course, in order to do that, we'll have to hear what you've given our preacher. Bless him, bless our hearing of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was thinking while he was singing, I thank God for a deacon chairman who has a heart. Thank God for it. What a wonderful man. What a dear, beloved friend. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject. You can write your own Bible verse. There is a, if you want to add to the Bible, you may do so. And I'm going to give you a way to write some of the Bible tonight. And I hope you listen carefully. This will be the simplest sermon you've ever heard in your life. I think it'll be the shortest sermon you've heard in a long time. But I've predicted that before and have never been right. But I really do think it'll be a rather short sermon tonight. I didn't have much time to study. I may have to holler a little extra loud. I have written it somewhere, it said, scream loud here, weak argument. I hate to give you my trade secrets like that. But I do want to speak tonight on write your own Bible verse. Before I bring the message, I'm going to read again what we read a while ago. Who shall separate? Oh, this is wonderful. I mean, boy, if we just came and read this and went home, we're not going to do that, but it'd be worthwhile. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Distress? Uh-uh. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? It means you conquer, and then you hold what you conquered. We conquered Japan, and then we reorganized Japan. We were more than a conqueror. A person can win a battle over a sin and conquer, but then he become more than conquerors when you hold what you've won. And for I am persuaded, here's my sermon, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That's where you can write your own verse. He said, if I missed anything there, put it in here. Any other creature. Just write down the other creature you want to write down, and it's in there. He said, here's a carte blanche. Here's a signed blank check. Just any other, in case I've forgotten anything, put it down there. Any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful passage. I cannot do it justice. I wish I could. I'll make a feeble effort and I'll walk out of the pulpit thinking that I failed tonight. How can anybody explain these scriptures? How can anybody make them as wonderful as they are? May I at least give my best to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Listen carefully. I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. They put me in, I think, the Sheraton Motor Hotel. And my window, I could look out my window and see Pikes Peak, that majestic king of the Rocky Mountains, as I looked out my window. That beautiful mountain that is incomparable as far as the Rocky Mountains are concerned. And I said, that's the most beautiful mountain in all the Rocky Mountains. And I asked myself, what is the Pike's Peak of the Bible? Is it John 3:16? I don't think so. Is it Romans 8:28? I don't really think so. Is that loftiest of all the Bible peaks, John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. I don't think so. To me, the Pike's Peak of all the Bible is in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. We come from the valley of chapter 6 and verse 23 to the plains of chapter 7, to the foothills of chapter 8, to the peak of verses 35. 39. I have read many commentaries on these verses. They all reach over the meaning. They run by it. They dig past it. All he's saying is this: I'll always love you. That's all he's saying. He just says, whatever happens, This is for keeps. I'll always love you. Now, I think that's better than John 3:16. Please put your pens down and listen to me now. Do not take notes while I'm preaching, please. I mean that. I want you to hear me. I worked hard. I want you to hear me now. John 3:16 tells me that He has loved me. For God so loved the world that He gave. Romans 5:8, that God commended His love towards us while we were sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 said He loved me. Romans 5:8 said He loves me. Romans 8:35-39 says He always will love me. Now, he lists at least 14 things. At least 14 things that if they happen will not sever us from the love of God. I'm simply going to go through them tonight and remind you that they cannot sever you from the love of God. In the first place, he says, shall tribulation separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? That word tribulation means harm done to you by someone else. He said, when you open the letter that breaks your heart, I'll still love you. When the dearest of life has failed you, I will still love you. When your love is not returned,
I will still love you. When cursing is returned for your blessing, I will still love you. He said it doesn't matter what people do to you, whether it's deserved or undeserved. He didn't say whether you're guilty or innocent. He simply said, no tribulation, no harm done you by somebody else will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then he says, distress. Can tribulation separate me from the love of God? Can distress? He said, no. Distress will not separate you. He said, in your distress, regardless of what your distress is, God says, I will always love you. The word distress means inner pressure, anguish, stress, worry. All of us are guilty of those. He said, when it seems the load is larger than the limit, I'll still love you. When the night is days long and the days are like night, I will still love you. When you can't see your way through or your way out or even your way in, I'll still love you. When death would be a welcome guest, I will still love you. He says to me, if your denomination votes you out because you took your stand, have a seat back in the back, please, immediately. Immediately in the back. Have a seat, please. Everybody be seated now. No walking around. He says, when your denomination votes you out because you've taken your stand against its godless schools, and you've lost the admiration and support of your home church and your alma mater, he said, I'll still love you. He said, when you have endured inner pressure, anguish, stress, nervousness, pressure, he said, I'll still love you. What he's saying is, you're not going to get away from my love. No way. Then he comes to number three. He said, not only can tribulation not separate you from my love, I will always love you in tribulation, harm done you by somebody else. I will always love you in distress, inner pressure, anguish, stress, and worry. But he said persecution. That word persecution comes from the word pursued. Someone's after you to hurt you. He said, it doesn't matter. Somebody gets after you to hurt you, I'll still love you. If you deserve the hurt, I'll still love you. If you don't deserve the hurt, I'll still love you. He's saying, you can't go beyond my love. Go to the highest peak, or go to the lowest depth, the depth of the deepest sea, or go east till east is east no more, and west is west no more. Go north till it's south, and south till it's north, and east till it's west, and west till it's east. He said, you are not going to get away from my love. I'm always going to love you. When someone sets his heart to destroy you, I'll still love you. When you're helpless at their malicious attacks, I'll still love you. When attacks come upon attacks, I'll still love you. When friends become enemies, I'll still love you. When enemies become warriors, I'll still love you. When your enemies form an army, I'll still love you. He said, you may face enemies who pursue you and try to hurt you and try to damage you. But he said, just as tribulation cannot separate you from my love, and just as distress or stress or anguish or worry cannot separate you from my love, even so, I don't care, David. I don't care if you're being pursued by Saul. I still love you. I don't care if Shimei is throwing rocks at you. I still love you. Because tribulation cannot separate you from my love, and distress cannot separate you from my love, and persecution cannot separate you from my love. Praise God. And he says, famine. Famine, when the job terminates and you've been laid off, I'll still love you. When the bills come due and there's not enough money to pay them, I'll still love you. When the cupboard is empty and it's Thanksgiving Day, I'll still love you. When the food is scarce, I'll still love you. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know in our generation what hunger's all about. I mean, in my day, we didn't have any welfare checks to come. We didn't have any food stamps in my day. In my day, you often went to the cupboard and found nothing there. And my little mother has set me down again and again and again to a plate and a knife and a fork and not one piece of food on that plate. And she bowed her head and said, God, please feed my boy. Thank God, in that little shack of a house, he still loved us. Then he said, nakedness. When you're ashamed of your clothing, he loves you. When you put cardboard in your shoes, he loves you. When you cover up the hole in your pants with your hand, he loves you. When you look at your child, as many of you little ladies do, and wish you could put clothing on them like the other little girls wear, or the little boys wear, or you bus kids that can't dress like some of the kids do that have parents who have jobs, and you children that have fathers who are alcoholics, and mothers and fathers who care very little about you, I want you to know God loves you. Doesn't matter how you're dressed, he loves you. The Bible said, In tribulation he loves you and always will. And distress he loves you and always will. And persecution he loves you and always will. And in famine he loves you. Hallelujah! He always will love you. When you look at your child, look at your child's clothing and weep. You can't afford to go to your own graduation. All you have is the wrong size, hand-me-down clothes. God said, I'll still love you. God said, I love the rich, I always will, but I love the poor, and I always will. He said, I love the intellectual, and always will. But he says, I love the illiterate, and always will. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm not trying to say anything. I'm saying it. God loves you, and he always will love you. I don't care what happens in your life. You'll never get away from the love of Almighty God through Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, is there tribulation? Nope. Distress? Uh-uh. Persecution? No, sir. Famine? Never. Nakedness? No. How about peril? He said, peril will not separate you. When you go off to war, I'll still love you. When you wonder if you'll ever return in the midst of a World War II, and you go off as a 17 or 18-year-old lad to a war in the middle of the Belgian Bulge and Okinawa and Iwo Jima, and you wonder if you'll ever come back, God says, I love you. When you put your head in the pillow on the train that night and you go off to fight a war, God says, I still love you. When you walk out of your home church for the last time and you wonder if you'll ever see it again, I still love you. When you look at your little mother and say goodbye to her and go off to a war and wonder if you'll ever see her again, I still love you, he said. When you say goodbye to your sister and your fiancé and say goodbye to them and go off to a war, he said, peril cannot separate you. Ask Mr. Vogel here, who saw combat. In what war? Vietnam War. Ask him. In the jungles of Vietnam, God says, I'll love you. In the foxholes of battle, God says, I love you. Shot down with an airplane, God says, I love you. When the caller says, you won't live 24 hours, God says, I still love you. When the bullet meant for you passes your head, God says, I still love you. When the words, I'll kill you, are accompanied by a knife, he says, I'll still love you. When you're attacked in your own church hallway by a man who says, I'll kill you, God says, I still love you. When you're rearing your children by yourself and you have to put the chair up against the door like I do when Mrs. Howes is gone away speaking, I'm saying, God said, he said, praise his name, tribulation. No matter what tribulation comes, I'll still love you. No matter what distress comes, I'll still love you. No matter what persecution comes, I'll still love you. No matter what famine comes, I'll still love you. No matter what nakedness comes, I'll still love you. No matter what peril comes, I'll still love you. I've said to you again and again and again, I know no better news than this. God loves you. I want to change my mind tonight. I know some better news than that. He always will love you. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution famine or nakedness or peril or sword. What does sword mean? Same thing that principalities and powers. The sword is that representative word for human government. When the government says you must license your school, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, God said, I'll still love you. When the government says you must be accredited, and you say, we'll not be accredited because we already are. The government says, are you accredited by the Northeast or Central Association? You'll say, no, I'm accredited by Straight North, the Gloryland Association. And God said, I'll still love you. When you call off scouring, I'll still love you. When you're hated, I'll still love you. When you call fanatic, I'll still love you. When you're looked down upon, I'll still love you. When you call an air-minded fundamentalist, I'll still love you. You, like Bunyan, share a cell for 12 years with common rats, I'll love you. When you flee to the catacombs for your safety, I'll love you. When you're fed to the lions in Colossae, or Ephesus, or Rome, I'll still love you. When you're burned at the stake like Latimer and Ridley and John Huss, I'll still love you. When the government says you can't spread the gospel, but you spread it anyway, and you listen to me, you let the government tell us we can't spread the gospel. Spread the gospel, we will. Sword cannot separate you from the love of God. I'll always love you, he said. And then he said, I'll always love you in death. He says, when you fall over in an airport concourse, and all of a sudden your pulse rate is gone, you start bleeding from your mouth, as is the case when you fall over like that. I've seen it. I've seen men fall over with a heart attack in airports. I've seen them die at my feet. God said, when you fall over in an airport concourse, I'll still love you. Or if the doctor hovers over you, trying to feel a pulse, I'll still love you. Or an assassin's bullet pierces your breast, I'll still love you. Or if I sin and God takes me home early, he said, I'll still love you. If I'm felled by a stroke, he'll still love me. If the plane finally goes down, he'll still love me. When Jesus stands to welcome you home, hallelujah, he'll still love me. When I preached my last sermon, walked from this pulpit for the last time, checked into my last hotel, and boarded my last plane, nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, tribulation? Nope. Distress? Uh-uh. Persecution? Never. Famine? Not on your life. Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Or death? No. Then he says something very interesting. Life. Life. What does it mean? He's saying, I don't care what happens in your life, I'll still love you. If I succeed, he says, if I succeed or fail, he'll still love me. He says, if you win or lose, I'll still love you. If you love or hate, I'll still love you. If you forgive or hold grudges, I'll still love you. If you're honorable or dishonorable, I'll still love you. If you're spiritual or carnal, I'll still love you. If you're on top or on bottom, I'll still love you. If you're close to him or wander away, he said, I'll still love you. If you're in the sunshine or the shadows, he says, I'll still love you. If you're on a mountaintop or in a valley, I'll still love you. If you're good or if you're bad, I'll still love you. If you're strong or if you're weak, I'll still love you. If you're in your youth or old age, thank God, I'll still love you. He said, you won't get away from my love, Buster. You can board the ship and go to the sea, but I'll still love you. You can board a submarine and go under the sea, and I'll still love you. You can board a rocket and go into space, but I love you. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. That means that you sailors, God loves you and always will. That means you dear deaf people back here, God loves you and he always will. That means that you rescue mission men up here, God loves you and he always will. That means that you bus kids over here, God loves you and he always will. And that's all he's saying. Chapter 8, verse 35 and 36 and 37 and 38 and 39. God just says, I'm going to put this in the Bible to tell you that I'll always love you. And then he says, they're angels. Now what does that mean? The word angel means a messenger. and the messenger comes and says, you must go to war, I'll still love you. When a messenger comes and says, your unsaved dad is dropped dead with a heart attack, I'll still love you. When the messenger comes and says, your mother is gone, I'll still love you. When the messenger comes in July of 1984 and broke my heart, I'll still love you. When the messenger came in May of 1989 and crushed my soul, I'll still love you. Jesus said, I'm trying to tell you, I don't care what happens, death, life, persecution, famine, peril, nakedness, sword. He said, name it, you'll always be the object of divine love. And he said, things present. I love that. Wherever you are now, I love you. Whatever you are now, I love you. Whatever you're doing now, I love you. Whoever is with you now, I love you. You may be in a lonely rescue mission tonight, but I love you. You may go to bed tonight, wish you could while driving a truck through the night, but I'll love you. You may live in a world of silence, but I love you. You may live in Cabrini Green, but I love you. You may go to sleep on Laura Wacker Drive, but I love you. You may rest in a dingy prison cell, but I love you. You may sleep in a crowded college dorm, but I love you. You may recline in the dirtiest of the ghettos, but I love you. You may toss and turn in a rest home, but I love you. You may spend the night or your last days in a hospice, but I love you. You may be waiting the test results in a doubting hospital room, but I love you. Hey, bathe tonight in the river of the love of God and bask in the sunlight of His love. He loves you, and He always will love you. He said, what can separate you from my love? Tribulation? Nope. Distress? Uh-uh. Persecution? Never. Famine? No. Nakedness? Uh-uh. Peril? Not on your life. Sword? No. Death? Uh-uh. Life? No. Angels? Never. Things present? And he said, no things to come. No things to come. I can predict your future tonight. My prediction is, whatever you're doing, He'll love you. You say, what if I backslide? He'll love you. Say, what if I wander from God's will? He'll love you. What if I spend some nights, bridges I'd like to burn? He'll love you. The things to come, prosperity or poverty, He'll love you. In health or illness, He'll love you. In success or failure, He'll love you. In popularity or unpopularity, He'll love you. In praise or ridicule, He'll love you. In laughter or tears, He'll love you. In promotion or termination, He'll love you. It doesn't matter what comes, He said, I will always love you. And then He says, nor height nor depth. What does that mean? It means if you're living on a mountaintop, optimistic, overflowing with joy, overflowed by heartache, He still loves you. The bottom of despair, He loves you. In destitution, He loves you. In destruction, He loves you. In depression, He loves you. In disenchantment, He loves you. In disheartenment, He loves you. Bottom of despair, at the top of emotion, He loves you. If you shout or sigh, He loves you. If you praise or pout, He loves you. If you laugh or languish, He loves you. If you're blind or seeing, He loves you. If you're deaf or hearing, He loves you. If you're intellectual or educable soul, He loves you. And He always will love you. Oh, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I say oftentimes to a bride and a groom up here, I'll say, there's nothing any more wonderful than to know that somebody loves you. And there are no words any more precious or any sweeter than to hear the words, I love you. And especially when those words come from someone that you love as dear as you love your own life.
I told the story about a senator named Charles Sumner who died in a fight on the Senate floor many years ago. As he lay at the point of death, somebody asked him if he had a word to say. And Charles Sumner said, "I'll say this. I have lived and I'm now dying, and I have never heard anybody say the words, 'I love you, Charles.'" Now, I tell you that man, though he was an atheist much of his life, he never got outside the love of God. God loves you, dear one, steeped in sin. God loves you, one who spent the night last night in a tavern, staggered home drunk. God loves you. God loves you, one who soiled unholy skirts. God loves you. God loves you, one, the prodigal that's drifted away. He loves you. God loves you, the one who's been to the rock concerts. He loves you. God loves you, the one who's put the needle in your arm or taken the pill and popped the pill in your mouth. God loves you. I'm saying God loves you. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write, the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. He says, "I love you, and I always will." And then in closing he said, "Or any other creature." I love that. He said, in case I've left anything out, write it in. He said, in case I've left anybody out, write their names in. In case I've left any place out, write the place in. In case I've left any event out, write the event in. In case I've left any occasion out, write the occasion in. In case I've left any condition out, write the condition in. In case I've left any position out, write the position in. In case I've left any state out or any status out, write it in. He said, "I don't want to forget anything, and if I have, write it down. No matter where you are, who you are, what you're doing, how deep you've gone, God said, I'll always love you. I'll always love you." How many times I've said from this pulpit, the greatest thing I know and the best news I can tell you, God loves you. The one who spoke and stars danced across the heavens loves you. The one who spoke and set the planetary system exactly where it ought to be, he loves you. The one who painted the breast on the beautiful robin loves you. The one who placed the scent on the gardenia loves you. The one who painted the petal of the rose loves you. The one who streaked the sunset across the western sky loves you. The one who made the wings of the birds and made their beautiful song go through the trees loves you. The one that painted the deserts of Arizona loves you. The one who made the 10,000 lakes of Minnesota like 10,000 teardrops of deity sprinkled on the ground so man could look up by looking down. He loves you. The one who made the Rocky Mountains, the great pyramids of the West, he loves you. The one who made the pine trees of Carolina like earthly steeples rising above heavenly steeples rising above an earthly sanctuary. He loves you. The one that made the sequoias and redwoods of Northern California, the giant and the king of the forest. He loves you. The one that made the earth, the stars, the moon, the animals, the fish that swim the sea, the birds that fly in the air. God, Jehovah, God, King of kings, Lord of lords, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the life, the bread of life, the living water, the way, the truth, the one who is the light of the world, and the way, and the door, and the one who is omnipotent, the Father of fathers, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He loves you, and hallelujah, he always will. He always will. Now you respond to that love. You respond to that love. You say, "Brother House, you don't know what I've done." No, but I know he loves you. "But Brother House, you don't know where I've been." No, but I know he loves you. He said so beautifully, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, life, death, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature. No. There is no person, there is no situation, there is no condition, there is no deed that you can commit that can separate you from the love of God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Wonderful love of Christ, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. The best news I know, He loves me. The greatest news I know, He always will. Now He says, He said, love constraineth us. Love constraineth us. May the goodness of God lead us to repentance, and the love of God lead us to give all. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride see, from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, a thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love, love, so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. Shall we stand, please?